The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is a vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So this morning we hear from Jesus' farewell discourse in the Gospel of John, where he is saying, I guess beginning the process of saying goodbye to his disciples. Now they are going to face the prospect of engaging in ministry and mission without their beloved rabbi, without their savior, because Jesus will be returning to his heavenly Father. But while Jesus won't be physically present, he has not abandoned them. And he uses this wonderful image of a vine and branches to describe his ongoing connection with the disciples. And we are the branches, and Jesus is the vine. The branch is dependent upon the vine, because apart from the vine, the branch can't survive. Now, a branch needs to be physically connected to the vine to receive sustenance. But where God is concerned, our connection can be emotional, it can be spiritual, it can be psychological. Think about it. Jesus was ascended about 2,000 years ago. So it's been more than 2,000 years since he has walked the face of the earth, and yet I still feel a deep connection with him today, even though I've never seen Jesus with these eyes, right? And one of the amazing things about God is God's ability to simultaneously be in intimate relationship, connected with every single person on the face of the earth simultaneously. And that's over 7 billion people. It almost defies comprehension to just imagine how God is able to do that. So one of the ways that helps us maintain this connection with God is the concept of abiding. And it must be important because in this short passage of scripture in the gospel, just a few verses, Jesus uses the word abide 8 times. So what does it mean to abide? Well, the definition of abide is to live with, to dwell with, almost to live in. And Jesus is inviting us to allow him to enter our hearts and for us to enter into his heart. Now, often when I'm trying to sort through an issue, I'm thinking things through in my mind. I'm using my intellect, my reason, my rational self. But I think where abiding is concerned, sisters and brothers, it almost has to be experienced to fully comprehend. So what are some of the things that you and I do where we are abiding with God? Well, I think when we are engaged in prayer and worship, we're abiding with the Lord. When we receive the sacraments, we're abiding with God. When we are gathered together in community, God is there, right? Scripture tells us that where two or three are gathered, God is in the midst. So abiding is all about connections. And we know, don't we, that this spiritual journey that we are on, it's not for lone rangers. You and I cannot get through this journey called life alone. No, I need you, and you need me. We need companions to support us, to encourage us along the way. And I think we have learned a great deal over the past year about how to stay connected even in the midst of challenging circumstances. Because during this global pandemic, we have discovered new ways of staying connected even as we've had to practice social distancing or physical separation. Now, it has been hard. And I'm sure that all of us, at times during the past year, have felt a sense of isolation. Our preference is absolutely to gather together. But with COVID, the most loving thing that we could do for our neighbor was to avoid gathering in groups for a period. And now that we are back together, to practice all of these protocols to stay safe. But we have learned, haven't we, that we don't always have to be in the same room as a person to feel their love and their support. And this notion of love, I think love is also an integral part of what it means to abide, because Jesus' whole life was about love. You know, God sent his only begotten Son to this world to save us when we were still mired in sin. That's a free gift, a gift of grace. No way we could ever deserve it. And what does God ask of us in return? Well, it's simply this, that we love one another. As the author of 1 John put it, from the epistle that we just heard read, we love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters. And so you might ask, well, Bishop, who is my brother and sister, right? I have one biological sister and two brothers, but think about the parable of the Good Samaritan. The way God describes our brothers and sisters is really broad. But you know, in today's time, seeing the entire human race as one family, where all of us are brothers and sisters, that's not politically correct. You know, the powers and principalities of this world, They seek to divide. And they want us to focus on the things that we have that are different instead of all of the things that we share as human beings, the things we have in common. So when we find ourselves isolated in our silos, if we hate entire groups of people that we haven't even met, then how can we possibly abide with God, whose foundational premise is love? Hate is antithetical to love. And Jesus' understanding of love, at least as I perceive it, it's not emotional or sentimental. It's not that warm, fuzzy feeling, you know, that you get in the pit of your stomach when your beloved walks through the door. No, love is pragmatic. It's demonstrated by our actions, the things that we do for others and the things that we refrain from doing for the sake of others. As Episcopalians, it's embodied in the promises of our baptismal covenant that all of us are going to recite today, not just the persons being confirmed and reaffirmed. Promises to persevere in resisting evil, to seek and serve Christ in all persons, to strive for justice and peace among all people, to respect the dignity of every human being. So when you think about that list, there are no exceptions carved out for people who don't think like us or who don't look like us or who don't vote like us. We don't get a pass. We're called to love everybody, period. Now, try doing that one day, and that is really hard, sisters and brothers. It's hard. Now, we have the benefit. Of course, we are assured of God's love and grace and mercy. Thanks be to God, right? So we know we have that. And yet I think there is still a role for each and every one of us to play. So just speaking for myself, it's been a lifetime of intentionality and humility, of self-assessment and introspection and honesty about where I am in my journey with the Lord. That's what being a disciple of Jesus Christ has entailed for me. And God loves us far too much to allow us to stay where we are today. The goal is transformed life, a transformation of our way of being so that we are more and more and more in Christ's likeness. So that is a journey. And that's only possible if we abide in Jesus. So the good news is that whenever we turn to Christ, whenever we turn to the light, God rejoices and meets us exactly where we are. Perfection isn't the goal, sisters and brothers. There's only one perfect person who has ever walked the face of the earth. That's not me and that's not you, right? That's Jesus. But what we're called to do is to dedicate our entire lives, to give all of who we are over to the Lord and trust God to do the rest. So for this amazing gift of being invited personally, each and every one of us, to abide with the living Lord, the creator of the entire universe, of all that we can see and experience, we are truly grateful and we give thanks in God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.